armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying
any
to
save
idea?
The pump
pump. Really, this
you
is what you're doing? This is
idea?
What you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. I don't know much, but I know one thing. We don't have a damn thing to watch this weekend, and don't tell me the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
With a cool one in his head.
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I'm doing pretty darn good since we got pitchers and catchers reporting. Doing kind of bad because football season's over with. But let's get it. It's a football Friday.
I'm a good old boy. You know my mama loved me. But she don't understand. They keep a showing my hands and not my face on TV.
Yeah-hoo! All right. It's a football Friday. It's the first one after the Super Bowl. First of all, let's hit that up really quick. Just the reaction to that. I thought it was a great game. These people that keep saying that it was a bad first half, bad three, they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. But you have to take it with a grain of salt because a lot of these fans that say this kind of stuff, hell, the Super Bowl might be the only game they watch all year. And if they watch any other games, it's not many. But if you look at that Super Bowl, remember there were two turnovers inside the 10-yard line. One by each team in the first half. So you would have ended up with a game of 32-29 as opposed to 25-22. And I know you're pointing at 19-19 going into overtime. But, hey, we're also talking about it would be 26-26 heading to overtime. So, overall, a really good game. An exciting game, a great ending. When you look at the overall numbers, Purdy went 23 of 38 for 255 yards and a touchdown. Mahomes, 34 of 46 for 333 and two touchdowns. If you took my best bet, my lock last week, you nailed it. First of all, my lock was the Kansas City Chiefs and the over on a teaser. Well, they won outright. And the over at that point would have been 41.5. Even if you did the one that I did on the Hard Rock app in Florida, it was 43.5, and I was getting 6.5. So anyway, you look at it, you should have made money if you listened to the show. And I hit on a couple of the other things. I had a parlay of completed passes by the two quarterbacks, and Purdy had to get over 20.5, so he needed 21. Well, he completed 23. And Patrick Mahomes needed 26.5, and he got 34, so he blew right past that one. Christian McCaffrey did not get his 90 yards rushing. I told folks to stay away from that, mainly because it was a high number against a Chiefs team that had played pretty darn good defense in the playoffs. How about Mahomes, 66 yards rushing? Wow. Pacheco didn't get his 65 and a half, I think it was, at tip kickoff. I really liked that one. That was one that I was off on. But he definitely got the opportunities. He had 18 carries. What it came down to was the San Francisco defensive line played much better than we expected. And it was a great game. And it felt, if, you know, some of these Super Bowls you watch, you feel like one team outplayed the other. One won the game, the other lost the game. This really just felt like Kansas City had the ball last. I feel like if that game went another two quarters, there's no telling who would have won that game. San Francisco missed some opportunities. There's no doubt about that. But all in all, it was a great Super Bowl. So we turned the page on that. We look, hearts go out to those affected by the tragedy in Kansas City at the Super Bowl parade. You never like to see that. It's always a danger when you go to things like that. And it really is a damn shame. You know, you're talking about a fan base, Kansas City Chiefs fan base, and I know people are probably getting tired of them winning the Super Bowl, right? Because they've won, what, three of their last five? But think about the years and years and years. If you were a Chiefs fan, you remember Chris Berman used to refer to them as the Chefs because they were below 500 for so long that his old joke was that I won't refer to them as the Chiefs until they're over 500. They were a very average franchise until Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, along with Travis Kelce, and let's not forget Spags, team up, and you see Spags just signed a 3-year extension to continue to be the DC, and I really think he's the difference. I don't know if Kansas City even makes the playoffs this year without Spags as DC. He did a phenomenal job, and he's going to be a problem. Now, if you look at what's going to happen next year in the AFC, you still can't just shoo in the Kansas City Chiefs and say, well, they'll be back. I don't believe this is a Tom Brady, New England Patriots type situation. It is in the fact that if you remember at the beginning of Tom Brady's career, he would go out. He went out and he won three Super Bowl championships very quickly. Three in, what, 4 years? But even with that said, then there was a long gap. And I think you might see, I don't know if we're going to see a big gap in their next return to the Super Bowl. Assuming Andy Reid wants to continue to coach. There's always these little inklings and rumors that he could be retiring at the end of the season. This is a couple of years now we've been hearing this. I haven't heard him say that. And it seems like he's enjoying it. It seems like that he wants to continue to build his legacy. Remember something about Andy Reid, beginning of his career, he was looked as a guy who couldn't win the big one. Well, he'll be 66 in March. I would think that he still has enough fire in him to coach maybe to age 70. Could be longer, but I do feel like that he's also a guy that possibly wants to do other things with his life. Travel, et cetera, et cetera. But he and his wife have been married. Look this up before the show. Him and his wife have been married since 1981. So we're talking about, what, 42, 43 years, depending on the date? There comes a time where you owe it to your wife who sat by your side, stood by your side, through all of the thick and the thin, and she's going to want some time to enjoy life. So that's going to be the question. I don't think it really comes down to, I think if Andy Reid could do it, he would coach another 50 years. I think he enjoys it. Lovable guy. Really difficult not to like Andy Reid. If you don't like Andy Reid, you're either a Raiders fan or there's just something wrong with you. And as far as the Travis Kelce thing where he ran up to him on the sideline, look, everybody seems to be taking polar opposite opinions. The big Kelce fans, the big Swifty fans, the big Chiefs fans, they're going to tell you it was no big deal. Then I've heard a lot of folks make a huge deal out of it. And I fall a little in the middle. And what I can say is this, because I've listened to a lot of takes this week, get other people's perspectives, point of view, and what I will say is this. I believe, first of all, Travis Kelce apologized for the incident. Now, I don't think he took full responsibility. He did the old, you know, cop out, well, you know, competitive juices are going and blah, blah, blah. I think more people would appreciate if he just would have said, look, I was an ass. I was out of line. I shouldn't have done it. There's no excuse. Travis Kelce's still a kid. He's 34 years old. Those of y'all riding around listening, this might be his age or younger. Might be thinking, well, that's not good. It really is. When you're 34 years old, you think you got everything figured out. And he's got a much different perspective than most 34-year-olds. Three-time Super Bowl champion, dating arguably the most famous woman in the world. I think it all came to a head, and it was right there on the sidelines in front of our eyes. We've never seen Kelce do anything like that. I think you, and this is just me playing armchair psychologist. There's a good possibility that the pressure of all what I just said made him snap. It's not an excuse. And when you make a mistake like that on that level, on that stage, all fans really want you to do is admit that you screwed up. And think about how quickly we move on from a lot of things. A lot worse things than him going up and bumping Andy Reid. And I do believe if it wasn't the Super Bowl, Andy Reid probably sends him to the locker room. I don't know if he does it for the whole game, but he probably sends him to the locker room for the half. Whatever. But you got to look at the big picture. Kelce, all in all, has been a pretty good role model. All in all, seems like he's a good guy. I think it helps him that his brother is a very lovable guy. And it helps him that he's dating one of the most famous women in the world. Popular women in the world. I would have liked to have seen a more contrite response and a more of an admission of guilt, because the last thing you want to do is blame it on the circumstances. It's like a golfer blaming his club for a bad shot. Sometimes you just screw up and it's okay. If it's not maliciously premeditated and it's not a part of a pattern, folks are willing to forgive you. And that's all. Anyways, let's move on. Looking forward to a college basketball weekend. I got to admit, it is always weird when we start out the gate from no football whatsoever after the Super Bowl. And they've been trying to give you the NBA weekend, and I'm sorry, but there's nothing about it that interests me. Not one single thing about the NBA weekend interests me. So I'm going to be watching college basketball. We got Daytona 500 as well. I'll have it on. Growing up in the Southeast, down here, right down the road from the 500, it's just a part of our, I guess it's really just a part of the North Florida, the culture. South Georgia, North Florida culture. You watch the Daytona 500. Even if you don't watch any other race, you watch the 500. Now, I'm going to do other things. I'll be working in the studio. You'll be doing some spring cleaning. But it'll be on. Because there's nothing else competing with it realistically. And I'll take a gander at it. But I don't follow it like I used to. For those of y'all that maybe been watching this show, listening to this show, we're about to start our 11th season. And when we first started this show, we did quite a bit of NASCAR. And it slowly trickled away. A lot of it had to do with the fact that when
when Justin stepped away because of all the stuff going on in his personal life, that had a big dagger to it. And then the other thing was I just really lost interest in the characters in the game. I still watch. I still have my guys I pull for. But I don't know enough about it anymore to really have an opinion. That's why you don't hear me talk about NASCAR. But if it's on and I think about it, I'll put it on. I'll have it on an extra monitor. But the Daytona 500, I always pay attention to. Always. Even if I don't watch the whole thing, I will have it on and keep it on until the end. Used to be a big Tony Stewart fan. Of course, when he retired, that had a lot to do with it. But just it's just in general, the guys that I grew up watching, one by one by one, they retired. And then the changes that they made to the sport, I kind of lost interest. Doesn't mean that it's not still entertaining. But I said this for years, and I'll put it to rest. If you want a Southern sports fan to get more engaged in NASCAR, you got to get it off NFL Sundays. I can't give up my NFL Sundays to watch NASCAR, and that's when their biggest races take place. So it feels like a waste of time watching it during the regular season, because when a champion's crowned, I'm going to be out to lunch watching Falcons Jaguars or whatever's on. I used to actually make a commitment to watching the playoff races. And then I started making a commitment. You know what? I'm going to watch those last four. And now this year, I'll be honest with you, I forgot about the whole damn thing altogether until they were crowning the champion. And I was like, man, I forgot about the whole thing. It's just, it's, if you want us to watch, you got to get it off of Sundays. And don't try to sneak it in on Saturdays, because that ain't going to work either, my friend. So the only thing that I've ever said about the NASCAR was this. You either have to get a really odd day of the week to switch it to, like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and I don't think they want to do that for a lot of reasons, or do the obvious thing, which to me would be switch the NASCAR races to Friday nights and do the other races around it. Figure it out. I don't care what you do. If you still want to have the secondary race on Saturday, move the truck race to Sunday or Thursday, I don't care. But it needs to be on a consistent day, or in this case, a consistent night. And I really think fans would get into a Friday night race. I know they don't believe that. They think everyone's got to have time to go travel and blah, 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 and get to the track. Well, think about this. If you go to a Friday night race, most folks have Saturdays off. Most folks do not have Mondays off, and it causes issues. And it's a lot easier to navigate your work schedule getting off on a Friday, getting to the race, etc., than to ask off for that Monday. So that's just always been my thought. If it ever goes to a Friday, I'll probably give it a go again. But until then, I watch the 500, Daytona, and I might catch a few other races. But remember something, next weekend, spring training begins. So as baseball fans of Seamheads, we're going to kind of clock out again from NASCAR. If there's a game on, we'll check it out on Sunday. And if there's not, maybe it's on. But I won't make the commitment, because I know when baseball season starts and football season rolls into it, et cetera, I'm not going to. It would be the equivalent of you asking me to watch the first couple of weekends of the NFL season, knowing damn good and well I'm not going to be there to watch the Super Bowl. And the other goofy thing is this United Football League, which was the combination of the USFL and the XFL. What in the world are they doing? They're waiting. They're going to wait until, let me double check this. I believe that their first actual game. Yep, I was right. It's the first weekend of baseball. It's also, I kid you not, you can't make this stuff up. It's also during the Final Four. What in the hell are they doing? So I'll tell you, I'm going to try to keep up. But baseball season in full force, and the Final Four, and the following weekend being the Masters, and baseball really getting cranking. And when the dust settles from that, you're going to have the NBA playoffs, and I still enjoy the NBA playoffs. I'm not locked into it like I used to be, but if my Celtics are doing well, and they are, I get a little more into it. If the Hawks are playing well, I'm going to pay attention to them. And there's a couple other teams, a couple other players that I enjoy, but I've been a lifelong Celtic fan, and I've always kind of pulled for the Hawks because of the Braves. But if they wanted to get some momentum, come on now. You're trying to tell me you shouldn't have kicked this off this weekend when we're still kind of going, man, I don't know, man. Wish we had some football to watch. It's either that or wait until the middle of the summer and do like I talked about last year and set it up where the season's ending just about the time preseason's beginning. By the way, if you're wanting to know what will be, so next week, what I'm looking at right here, looks like they're going to be on Fox and ESPN, and it looks like Birmingham, Arlington, St. Louis, Michigan Panthers, D.C., San Antonio, and Memphis, along with Houston, have teams. And those are the, for right now going into this season, those are the eight teams. They have the USFL Conference and the XFL Conference, and I guess that's how they're going to build it going forward. So they took the Birmingham Stallions, which is no shock because they played so many games there, the Houston Roughnecks, the Memphis Showboats, and the Michigan Panthers. On the XFL side, they got St. Louis Battlehawks, San Antonio Brahmas. I don't know if that team was there last year. I honestly didn't watch any of the XFL. I watched a little bit of the USFL, and it fell flat. DC Defenders and the Arlington Renegades. So it doesn't look like that they have, maybe this is to, I'm going to take a guess and say this is to kind of trickle down travel expenses, but it doesn't look like they have a team west of Texas. So yeah, you're talking about Arlington, San Antonio, in Houston, all in the state of Texas. I get why they're doing it this way, but honestly, it would have made a hell of a lot more sense to put the Houston Roughnecks over into the XFL Conference and take St. Louis and put them over in the USFL Conference just for geography reasons, or DC, however you want to do it. You really should have put all three Texas teams in the same conference, because one of the worst things that could happen to them is to have Houston play like Arlington for the championship, so you only have the state of Texas giving a crap about it. But anyways, there are no West Coast teams. Now, I do believe from what I understand, their plan is to expand in the next few years. I'm more likely to get involved and pay attention to this if it's a team in a region that I can pull for. I will casually pull for the Memphis Showboats from my time in Tennessee, but honestly, Memphis was never looked upon as anywhere close to Tennessee when I lived in Nashville. We looked at Middle Tennessee, we pulled for Middle Tennessee, and the Volunteers, and though they are east, they were everywhere in the state. Memphis always felt like East Arkansas, so I don't know how. The only reason why I'm likely to pull for them is because they do have the old USFL name in the Memphis Showboats. If you've ever looked in detail in my office, I have every USFL mini helmet from way back when. The original USFL. So we're talking about the Jacksonville Bulls, the Tampa Bay Bandits, and yes, I have the Memphis Showboats. I grew up in the early 80s watching the original USFL, and so that's my tie to it. And if you're going to have the Houston Roughnecks, I'm sorry, but they need to change that stupid name to the Houston Gamblers. That was the original. The other four names, or the other three names in the four-team USFL conferences, are all throwbacks to the original names. The Michigan Panthers, the Memphis Showboats, the Birmingham Stallions, and then you got the Houston Roughnecks Houston was the Gamblers. That was Jim Kelly. Birmingham Stallions. That was a pretty darn good team back in the original USFL. And the Memphis Showboats. I mean, come on, Reggie White. Michigan Panthers, Bobby Hebert. You know, you had the Denver Gold, the Chicago Blitz. I remember one of the very first games that I can recall seeing as a snow game was the Chicago Blitz. And because of that, and their style of football, I kind of pulled for them. They weren't on very often in our region because the USFL was regionalized on Sundays, but I would pull for them. The Tampa Bay Bandits, you had Steve Spurrier running the show. Reeves as their quarterback. Then the Jacksonville Bulls came along. I mean, that was the Oklahoma Outlaws, Orlando Renegades, Oakland Invaders. That was football, baby. Even the Arizona Wranglers, who most people don't remember. But boy, I do remember the Portland Breakers and the New Orleans Breakers. I feel like there was a third one. I feel like that the Breakers moved every year, it seems like. Philadelphia Stars. Keith Byers, and who could forget the New Jersey Generals? For those of y'all not old enough to remember that, it was Doug Flutie, it was Herschel Walker, and Donald Trump owned the damn team. Now, he wasn't the polarizing figure that he is today, but he ticked everybody off, and he's the reason why the whole damn thing collapsed, because he wanted to take the NFL on head on. And I think what he was really trying to do is get a big payday. Instead, we won't go through that whole thing. Maybe we'll do a Once Upon a Pastime on that. But essentially, their lawsuit trying to move to the fall stuck it to the entire league. In the short of it, they said, you're right, the NFL does have a monopoly. And also, it's because they choose to, because they don't want to televise your product. But like I said, we'll give it a go, but I'm more likely to watch the games that have the USFL names. So Memphis, Michigan, and Birmingham, I'm here for you. But I'm not turning off a Major League Baseball game or the Final Four or the the Masters to watch the Battle Hawks take on the Brahmas. What the hell is the San Antonio Brahmas? I'm assuming that was one of the XFL names. You had so many great names in the USFL. They should have just took all those names. And the Arlington Renegades, I have not seen their helmets or their uniforms, but I'm going to assume, let me see, did they take? Not really. I thought maybe their unis would look like the old Renegades, but not really. Their website's not very sharp, but from what I could tell of the video that you can see of it, I mean, they kind of look like an alternate jersey that the North Carolina Tar Heels would use. I remember last year the Stallions looking a lot like the old Birmingham. You know, they're updated, and I wish they would go more back into what they look like, but at least they're using the names of the Stallions and the Panthers and the Showboats. It's funny, though. We called it last year on this show, how stupid it was that these two leagues were trying to go head-to-head. And neither one of them picked the right time to go for it. If you remember, the XFL started, I don't remember if it was exactly the week after, or it was 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, but it was right in that area. But they were closer than what the USFL. The USFL started in the weird spot. It was like in the middle of April. I'm like, if you're going to wait that long, why didn't you just wait until the XFL season was over, and people who are big football fans are more likely to watch both of you. Now, I like the season changes. I like going from football to baseball, and in between we're squeezed with a little bit of Final Four, March Madness. Who doesn't love March Madness? And then, of course, you get your big, you know, you get the Masters, we'll get the TPC, we'll get all of the, I don't care. They say there's four. I say there's five majors in golf, and I will watch those, and I love the fact that they've moved them up, and we get them out of the way. By the end of July, we're done. And I love that because then you can focus on football. So I like the changes. As big a baseball fan as I am, I don't watch baseball games in the middle of December, it doesn't feel right. And yeah, I look, you can watch the Caribbean series and whatnot. If I realize it's on, I'll make an attempt to watch it. But all I ever see are the highlights after somebody wins. So they don't do a very good job of actually promoting the Caribbean leagues. I think they would get a little more viewers from the diehard Seamheads, but I like the changes. I don't want to watch the same sport 12 months out of the year. It ain't right. Remember growing up as a kid, you didn't play the same sport 12 months out of the year. You played whatever sport was going on at the time. We didn't play backyard football in the middle of June, but by God, come August, we were out there doing it. We weren't shooting hoops in September, but when spring hit, in between baseball games that we were out there playing for our respective little league teams and whatnot, we'd pick up a basketball and go shoot it. Really wish to hell I would have taught myself how to kick a field goal. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio. Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Mickey. Mickey who?
You know who, the fellow with the celebrated swing. Oh, I love Mickey.
Mickey who?
You know who, the one who drives me batty every spring. If I don't make a hit with him, my heart will break.
This is the last Friday.
I wish that I could catch him and pitch a little wound.
That we won't have baseball. Until sometime in late October, early November. Alrighty, baby. College baseball starting as well. But we do football here on Football Friday, so let's go ahead and get into the world of football and what is trending and what's going on in this great sport that everybody seems to love more than most. First of all, a quick update on the Kansas City shooting. Their own Valentine's Day massacre, right? They're saying that Kansas City police is saying that the shooting appears to have stemmed from a dispute. So it wasn't, look, when I first heard the news, I was like, man, did some lone nut? And then you heard that there were several or at least multiple shooters. And so I'm sure we'll see more of it as it comes about. But it's juveniles getting involved in it. And if you want to have a guess, the guess would be it's gang related. But you don't know. You don't know. It could be a multiple things. And remember, with all the junk we have going across on the border, Kansas City's really not that far from the Texas-Mexican line. And there's no telling from what country someone could have snuck in and there'd be some kind of beef. So who knows? I'm sure we'll figure out more of it as it goes on, but just a sad, sad situation. You know, I was talking to my wife. The moment this thing happened, I told her, I said, this is why I don't go to stuff like this. This is why I have no desire to go to stuff like this anymore. Because it's not fun for the fans anymore. And you can easily say, oh, but it's just one outlier. It's really not. It seems like anytime you get a huge group of people together nowadays, there's always got to be an issue. It's not safe, and I'm not going to be able to enjoy myself if I'm having to worry about, it's not so much my welfare, it's the welfare of the people that I came with, mainly wife. If I'm not worried about my wife, then what other family or friends did we go with? And it doesn't make, what I look upon as a good time nowadays, it's secluded the hell away from everybody. I'll still go to a Major League Baseball game. I'll go to a baseball game. You haven't had those types of issues, and it's still the last sport that really just feels like a day at the ballpark. a day at the game. It's more relaxed. But as far as a football game, you're probably not going to get me to a football game unless I'm up in one of the box seats, sitting pretty. As big a college and NFL fan as I am, I have no desire to sit out in the Jacksonville heat, in the sun, and bake away. Same thing for anyone who lives in this area that, you know, that goes to a Florida game. That is people can tell you whatever the hell they want to tell you. It's not comfortable. It's not fun. Sun blasting you. And then if you go to the night game, you got to worry about all the nonsense. The last night game that we went to, the last two night games, which one was college, one were pro, both of them had issues of violence about to erupt. Thankfully, it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but man, oh man, you can have it. You can absolutely have it. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take a quick look at the odds for national champions in college football. And if we have enough time, we'll take a peek at the Super Bowl. Next week, we're going to take a bigger look at what's been going on in the offseason of college football between the transfer portal, the two, because they're really separate, they really are, the two signing days, and where everybody's looking at going forward. Looking at the college football winner, the University of Georgia is a huge favorite to win their third in 4 years, plus 300. Now, that may not sound that significant. You're about to, let's say you're going to lay $1,000 down. We'll just use that number. You're about to lay $1,000 in February that the Georgia Bulldogs are going to win the college football playoffs next January, and you're only getting 3-1. Ohio State's only getting 5-1. Tells you right there, those are two pretty good bets, most likely to make the playoffs. Texas is 7-1, but I'm going to be honest with you, I got to see it on a bigger level, on a more, I got to see Texas do it several years in a row before I start jumping on that train. Georgia has done it. Ohio State has been a playoff contender. And really all you got to do is get in. And if you're Georgia and Ohio State and you get that bye, that's an advantage as well. Now look at some of the other bigger brands, what their national championships, what the national championship picture for them looks like. Oregon 8-1. I'm not jumping on that train. Alabama 11-1. Hell no. Hell no. All they lost? Ain't jumping on Alabama. Are you nuts? I think Alabama, you're going to talk about them winning the national title? There's a better chance they go 8-4 next year. And they'll still find a way to slide them into the playoffs. But they'll get cooked. They're losing a lot. It's really going to be the depth. Alabama's still going to have elite players, don't get me wrong. They're not all of a sudden turning into UAB or Memphis, right? But to think that that guy is going to come in there across the country, implement his style of play, and it just goes smoothly. Meanwhile, you got Saban hanging over his freaking, breathing down his neck with his office right next door to him. Be like trying to take the ACTs with Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory. He's sitting right next to you going, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Ole Miss is 15-1. That is not good. Those are not good odds. They really aren't. 15-1. They haven't done enough for me. Now, I think the reason would be is because they could be looked upon as the favorite to win that. Well, there are no divisions, so scratch that theory. I haven't looked at Ole Miss's schedule. That might play into it. We're going to have to, at least football fries, we're going to dive into these schedules and take a real look at who has a realistic shot and who – doesn't have a realistic shot. But with the playoffs opening to 12 teams, anything is up for grabs. You want to get a team that's going to get hot. But at the same token, if you're not one of the top four getting a bye, it is going to be a grind to play 12 games in your conference title game and then go out there and play four more games on top of that. 17, a team could go in theory. I don't think they could go 17-0, because I think if you're sitting there at 13-0 with your conference championship, you're most likely getting one of the top four, so you would get a bye. But 16-0, I mean, come on. That is a brutal schedule. They have got to take a couple of games off. I said it before, I'm all for them expanding the playoffs. I'm for them going to a 32. I don't give a crap. Just take a couple of the regular season games off. Do we really need to see Georgia drag some directional school? Give them the week off. LSU 16-1. No siree. Not after losing Jaden Daniels and Brian Kelly's to your head coach. They're going to be sucking BBs. Michigan 16-1. Nah. Michigan's losing a lot. And with them losing Harbaugh, they're not going to get a bunch of transfers in. They'll be fine. They'll be a good football team. But win the national championship? Florida State 22-1. The only reason why you would even do that is if you want to throw like a friendly like $100 bet on it, because that team could be on a mission. But you're asking a lot. That team has lost a lot. And though they've done outstanding in this offseason, they've had a good recruiting class, and they've had an outstanding transfer portal. But you're still talking about starting with a new deck once again. And look, I get it. Mike Norvell did an outstanding job this year. But to duplicate that two times in a row, and though DJU, I think, will be a solid quarterback, the thing that he had coming back was the continuity of Jordan Travis coming back. He had guys like Jared Verse, Johnny Wilson, Benson. You know, the list goes on. This is going to be a team that is going to be very new to each other. And I don't know what kind of leader DJU is. We're going to find out. But there's going to be competition across the board. I do think Florida State ends up as a playoff team, because I still think that they're the leader in the clubhouse to win the ACC. And now, unlike 2023 asterisk year, you win the conference, you get an automatic ticket punch to the playoffs. But with that being said, that doesn't guarantee you're going to get on some roll once you get in the playoffs. They could be, 12-1, 11-2, win the conference, and still not be hitting. Forrest has got two things going for him. A, great offseason. B, very manageable schedule. I don't hate the 22-1, but I wouldn't put a whole lot on it. Same thing with Notre Dame, 35-1. They'll have a puncher's chance to get into the playoffs, and then you never know. But I'm not putting a whole lot on it. Missouri's 28-1. That's interesting. It's a lot of faith in Missouri. Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Penn State are all 35-1. Clemson 40-1. I didn't think we'd see the day anytime soon where Clemson is a 40-1 odds for the national championship, and Mississippi is 15-1. Tennessee Volunteers are 45-1, and so is Southern Cal. I don't think there's much of a chance Southern Cal could make the playoffs. but I wouldn't bank on it. I've got to see some semblance of a defense before I believe Southern Cal is going to go into the Big Ten and play well enough to get into the playoffs. Miami's 50-1. Yeah, right. Miami, yeah, they got Cam Ward, and they had another good recruiting class in high school, but all those kids always end up transferring, so it doesn't really matter. And if there's one thing that I know about Mario Cristobal football, he's going to make a couple of really stupid mistakes. It's going to cost his team. I'm going to predict he does it off the bat when he plays the Gators in the Swamp. He's going to get all nervous and just spit the bit. Here's some interesting ones, and I get why they are, but I'm looking at it as, man, these are brands of college football, and they're not giving them a chance. Deion Sanders' crew is 100-1 to win it all. That doesn't shock me. In fact, I don't think that's long enough odds. For me to lay just a few bucks on Colorado to win, Colorado? Hell, to make the playoffs, I wouldn't take those odds. Florida Gators are 150-1. So is North Carolina and NC State. There aren't a whole lot out there that are much of interest past that, but 200-1, Nebraska. 200-1, Iowa. You know Iowa's always in the conversation that they're playing boring-ass football and they're not a real threat to win four games in a row in the playoffs. But hey, I could see them punching their ticket somehow. UCF is 200-1 as well. As far as the NFL is concerned, the Super Bowl odds, hit this real quick. Chiefs 5-1, 49ers 6-1. My advice would be on that, if you do want to take one of these teams with the low odds, it doesn't work as well in college because there's not guaranteed losses anywhere. Wait until Kansas City or San Francisco, if you really think one of them are going to go back to the Super Bowl and win it, wait till one of them gets one or two losses. Because you know it's going to happen. And when that happens, you're going to see their odds go through the roof. And at that point, jump on it then. Ravens, this is an interesting one, 10-1. But I'm so reluctant to grab the Ravens because until I see Lamar Jackson be a hell of a lot more accurate with his passing, I just think it's always going to be the Achilles heel of the Baltimore Ravens in big games. We talked about it before. Don't pay attention to the long pass. Don't pay attention to the 15, 20-yard pass. Pay attention to when Lamar Jackson throws a bubble screen and it's 2 yards off the mark, and though the receiver catches the ball, he has to readjust himself, and because he has to adjust to it, changing his balance, going in the other direction, by the time he regains and goes forward, he's normally getting smoked right there. That is the reason why Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens are going to struggle in the playoffs. Buffalo Bills, 11-1. Detroit Lions 12-1. I'm going to be very, very bearish on the Lions next year because for the first time in for as long as I can remember, they're actually going to have a target on their back. And I think it's going to be one of those things where they take a step back before they take another step forward. I like that core, and I even like the idea of building it around Jared Goff. Jared Goff's done a fine job. Here's the one that I would like to keep an eye on. 14-1, the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow coming off an injury. That team should have been in the Super Bowl last year. They had all the chances in the world to beat the Rams the year before that. That's my favorite of the realistic chances here. Dallas is 14-1. Yeah, right. I'm going to bet on Mike McCarthy. That disaster of an ownership. I have given up on any chance, and I'm no longer pulling for the Cowboys to get one more before Jerry Jones walks away, because he's not serious about winning it. If he was, McCarthy would not have a job. So I'm done. I'm done with the Cowboys. Never been a Cowboys fan. Don't get me wrong. In fact, I used to loathe the Cowboys back in the Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman days. But there was a part of me that started feeling sorry for him. Started pulling for Dak Prescott. Felt like he's underrated. I still think he's a little bit underrated. But that was a disaster. Until I see McCarthy out, or maybe Jerry Jones just turn the keys over, you'll never see me pick the Cowboys ever again. Green Bay is interesting at 15-1, but I think they're very much like the Lions. You might see them take a step back before they take a step forward. But I'll tell you what, LaFleur can coach. And Jordan Love showed that he can play ball. Miami Dolphins 18-1. Yeah, right. Old noodle arm out there throwing fades and wounded ducks. No, thank you, sir. And unless they run the table at home and win several games on the road, which is their Achilles heel, they're not going to have home field advantage. And if they don't have home field advantage, they have no shot in hell of making the Super Bowl because Tua can't play in the conditions. Eagles 18-1, that's interesting. People are going to sleep on the Eagles. Don't sleep on the Eagles. That's a good team that I think had a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. I think they hit a wall. I think some teams also figured some things out. But here's my favorite one. If you want to talk about a team, well, you know what? I'm going to give you two. You want to talk about, you know what? I'll give you three. Couple of teams, long shots. We want to throw just a little change on it. Houston is 25-1. That defense was real. And C.J. Stroud's only going to get better. People were dragging him the other day because he went on the Michael Parsons podcast and he didn't know who Ricky Waters was. They were... or who he is. They were giving him a hard time in the comments and whatnot. And I'm like, dude, do you understand that though Ricky Waters was a very, very good running back? He was long out of the league before C.J. Stroud started stumbling around in diapers. It's the old heads that are going, oh, well, you don't know who he is. No! The same reason why us Gen Xers growing up, maybe I knew, but a lot of folks didn't know who Gale Sayers was. A lot of them had no idea who Sonny Jurgensen was. But I love the idea of Texans 25-1. I love the idea of Jets 25-1. I know. Aaron Rodgers has to stay healthy. And I do believe that Rob Saleh is a terrible football coach. But that defense is really good, and so is Mr. Rodgers. Assuming everything's hunky-dory with him coming back from the injury. But the other one you may not want to sleep on, we'll give you two. The Rams 30-1. I thought they were playing pretty darn good football towards the end. Assuming everybody comes back for the Rams, that could be a very interesting season next year because you wonder if there's going to be a hangover with the 49ers. And then the other team, don't laugh. The Jacksonville Jaguars 35-1. The Jacksonville Jaguars just got a taste of what humble pie was. And I think if there's good leadership, we're going to find out. There's good leadership in the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. They're going to come out swinging, and it's still a very manageable division. The Titans are going to be a ways off. I'm not convinced that the Colts are going to be that much better. And though the Texans will be really good, Jacksonville could could gather enough wins to get in the playoffs, whether it's win the division or the wild card. And then once we know, once you get in, get hot and let's go. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
It's Friday, Working Stiffs. Everybody!
4, 3, 2, 1, happy weekend!
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah.